This is a Cruise Radio Special Edition, Carnival Splendor 2010.
From the Cruise Wants to Do's in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker.
Thanks for checking out this special edition of Cruise Radio, focusing on the recent Carnival Splendor ordeal. We'll talk to a couple of passengers who have just gotten off the ship. But first, Stuart Chiron, the cruise guy, is with us. He is a regular contributor for Good Morning America, CNN, and MSNBC. Hello, Stuart. First question, how long will the Splendor be in San Diego?
Well, that's a good question. I know right now that they were waiting for the Panamanian authorities to take the lead in the investigation, considering the ship is Panamanian flagged, joined with the U.S. Coast Guard and the NTSB, the National Transportation and Safety Board. And they're going to determine what, in fact, occurred on board Splendor that essentially rendered it lifeless, because you know there are a couple of different engine rooms, and the fact that the fire that which occurred in the rear engine room on a panel was able to actually shut the power down, almost to the, for the entire ship. So they're going to try to look into what caused that and how to, prevent that in the future.
I was going to say, because the cruise didn't start in San Diego. It started in Long Beach, right?
Correct.
And what kind of itinerary does this ship usually run?
The Mazatlan, Cabo San Lucas, Puerto Vallarta.
Okay, Stuart, I have a listener question here. Basically, they're asking, I'm paraphrasing here, why did the passengers have to go through customs getting off this ship when the ship left out of a U.S. port and never went to a foreign port?
The answer is the Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative, which went into full swing within the last couple of years, requires that cruise ships that are going from one U.S. port to another, in different ports, they do have to go through customs. So if there's a close-in loop, which allows cruise passengers to not have to bring a valid U.S. passport, which means that if you sailed round trip out of Long Beach or Los Angeles or Miami or Fort Lauderdale, then you don't need a passport. But when you're beginning and ending in two different U.S. ports, then they do require that customs be taken care of.
But, Stuart, at first they were going to tow the ship back into Mexico. Would that cause a nightmare for the folks who didn't have a passport?
Well, that's a very good question, Doug. What would have happened was logistically it would have created problems, because they would have needed at least 70 buses to get those, the 3,300 passengers back up into, let's say, San Diego and Los Angeles, not to mention, the security detail. As they proceeded up, and as far as the customs, that could have been a problem. I mean, of course, there would have been some exceptions, but it just would have created more problems. And Carnival was absolutely, right on the nose with, making sure that they got the ship into San Diego.
Stuart, right now we have one of the passengers from the Splendor on the line. Amber Hasselrud from Southern California is with us. Perhaps you saw her on NBC. One of her relatives was very elated this year when she got off the ship. Amber, welcome to Cruise Radio.
Thank you.
The news on TV has painted quite the picture of this ordeal, and it's funny to see some of the people interviewed acting as if this is the worst experience they've ever had in their lives, with nothing to eat but dirt and spam. Have you had your fill of spam, by the way?
Was no spam. I didn't see it. I know, obviously, when I got back that all the media reports were asking us how spam was. I guess that's all the pictures you guys got showed them sending us spam. I did not actually eat any spam. I did not see any spam. But sandwiches and salads were pretty much all we had to eat for all the time, yes.
All right, well, let's start at the beginning. I've been reading John Heald's blog. He, by the way, is the cruise director aboard the Splendor and has given a pretty detailed account of what happened. When the smoke first started, I know the people on the aft of the ship were asked to go topside, and then eventually they asked all the passengers to go to the top. Being a passenger on board, what was the first thing you remember about this incident, and where exactly were you?
I was in my room. It happened. I had just woken up. I was still laying in my bed, and it kind of felt like an earthquake. I was like, why are we shaking? Where my room was actually right above where it happened.
Oh, wow.
And so I could feel the room shaking, and it was a little bit loud. I said previously it kind of sounded like a jackhammer, not incredibly loud, but, I mean, you definitely heard it. Then over the speakers in the cabins, I heard Alpha Team report to engine room.
Oh, boy.
And I was there with my mother, and I was like, well, that probably doesn't sound so well. So I got up and went to the restroom and my mom said, this is probably a good time to get dressed, and sat there until we heard some more news.
So I guess there was a little bit of a waiting game after that. What was the next series of announcements?
It wasn't too long afterwards that John went over the speaker again, and he said that there was a smoke issue and that some of the hallways, I guess, had been filling up with smoke. While I was in my actual room, I could not smell it at all. I had no idea there was smoke until he actually said something.
Wow.
So he said that it would be best if you were on these lower floors to get out to open decks so nobody was inhaling the smoke. So at that point, me and my mom walked out, and we were in the hallways and could definitely smell the smoke then, but we got to open decks.
How do you think the captain and the crew did overall keeping you informed and comfortable on the ship?
As far as the first day, I would say maybe almost every 30 minutes I heard that cruise director. He was giving us updates. We definitely weren't in the dark about anything. I know that our safety was their number one concern. He let us know where meals were going to be. Of course, he apologized. I couldn't tell you how many times that this had happened, and he let us know that they were doing the best that they could with the situations that we had. So I felt very well informed about everything that went on.
That's good. What about the other passengers? Was there a general sense of solidarity and people trying to stay light about it, or were there some people freaking out? What was the vibe?
I never really saw anybody freaking out. For the most part, I think everybody was, well, I don't want to use the word happy, but content, with what was going on. I didn't see anybody freaking out, running like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? There was no kind of panic situation. Everybody was pretty calm. I think everybody was a little bored at first until they opened up all the free liquor.
Well, that was my next question. When did that come out, the free beer and wine, the booze fest?
That was on Tuesday. Monday was a little, obviously Monday was the day it happened, so there wasn't much going on that day. There was a lot of sitting around.
Right.
Tuesday evening.
By day two, they're like, we got to get these people loaded.
Tuesday evening, it was free beer and free wine. I don't believe they did mixed drinks because there was not a lot of ice on the ship.
Right.
So that was not so, free beer and free wine as much as you wanted. Obviously they would give you one at a time, but you can keep going back. So
I had heard that it was warm beer, though. Is that right? Somebody said that it was got to the point where it was just warm beer.
I think more of the Wednesday night was a little bit warmer.
Yeah,
it was never hot, but it definitely wasn't cool. I know a lot of people drink Coors Light, and the mountains were not blue, but but it wasn't hot. So free beer is better than no beer, I guess.
Yeah, I think we just lost the Coors sponsorship.
So after all this, will you be sailing Carnival again?
I will. This was actually going to be my first cruise. I've never been on one before, and this was my first, so it was definitely an experience. But the crew. The cruise director, everybody was incredible. They were so nice, and I know that they worked so hard. They were friendly. Any questions that we asked, they were there. So, partly because of the crew, I will go with Carnival again. But, I don't see that this ever happening again in my lifetime, at least not to me.
Well, yeah, it's got to be like a lightning striking twice kind of a thing. And it sounds like you've got a really healthy attitude about it. It was funny to see some of the interviews on television where, again, you'd think these people just went through World War II or came back from Iraq or something. I'm like, really? Really? Was it really that awful, people?
Yeah, for the most part, I think most people have the kind of outlook like I did. It wasn't their fault.
Right.
They didn't plan this. They didn't put us on this ship to go start an engine fire and leave us in the middle of the ocean. It was an accident. Does it suck that it happened to us and it ruined our vacation? Sure. But they did everything they could to get us back. Of course, there's always going to be those few people that think that Carnival owes them the world and everything. But for the most part, I think most people have my outlook that, hey, we got through it. We survived. We weren't in danger. And we're mostly all back home safe now.
In closing, Amber, if there's one thing you want to share with our cruise radio listeners, what would that be?
It would be just the staff, the crew, everybody on the ship was absolutely amazing and friendly, and and work their butts off to do everything that they could for us passengers. So I would just want people to know that Carnival is great, even though this happened. I mean, it could have happened to any cruise line, but they were amazing.
And like you said, I mean, this doesn't discourage you from cruising again, especially since this was your very first cruise.
Yeah, no, of course, I would love to. Well, Carnival's giving me a free cruise, so how am I going to turn that down, first of all?
That's the thing, It's like,
it would definitely not do that. I would definitely go on another cruise.
It's funny to see people maybe overlooking the fact that they got a total refund and they got a free cruise out of it. So
We literally paid nothing. Even anything that we spent on the first night, first 12 hours that we were, going around, any pictures, any alcohol, anything. I mean, they literally refunded every single penny that was spent. They're refunding travel expenses. They made travel arrangements for everybody. Everything was 100% refunded.
Thank you so much for talking to us. From Southern California, Amber Hasselrude. Thank you very much, and we're glad you're back safely.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We have another passenger on the line from Southern California as well. Marquis Horace is with us. Welcome to Cruise Radio. Now, where was your cabin?
Midship.
Yeah, is that a balcony room or an inside room?
No, I had an inside room, no window.
Oh, so you were in the dark then?
I was literally in the dark for days.
Mm. There have been a lot of media reports saying that you were all given spam. For the record, was there spam served on board?
I personally did not see any spam. But, I mean, as far as I know, they were saying it was corned beef hash, like salad or sandwiches, which today I found out from another passenger was actually ground up spam and corn or something. I don't know.
Oh, boy. Overall, how did the captain and the crew do regarding keeping you informed and comfortable?
I would say, the stewards were great in terms of trying to be accommodating. I think the captain, he didn't speak very good English, and the cruise director, his name was Chris, I believe. He was John, I believe. And he was doing most of the updates, and they weren't accurate. That's right. The only thing that I could say, because he kept telling us it was a flameless fire, he kept referring to it as the incident, but never would tell us actually what happened. So, And then they talked about tugboats, and tugboats didn't show up when they say there were. And we were going to Ensenada, then we weren't, and then we ended up in San Diego. So,
Marquis, how are the fellow passengers handling this?
I mean, most people were trying to we were stuck. There's nothing else you could do besides try to find some sort of camaraderie with each other and play cards and, try to do whatever, to keep yourself occupied. Most of the time, it's like you can just sleep because, there's nothing else to do. At a certain point, you just got bored, and then after, towards the last two days, the cruise people start to, put on events, and especially for the kids, they did kids camps still, and I don't know what the kids did, but there was lines for everything. So
surely there wasn't much more to do than drink warm beer and just kind of play cards. Was there music and stuff playing as well, like the band and such?
Not that I heard. There was no band playing. There was no power, so there was no instruments to be played. Only thing is, I think I heard a piano at one point. That was in the midship somewhere, and that's all I heard.
All right, Marquis Horace in Southern California, thank you so much for talking to us, man.
No worries.
As passenger Amber just stated, she was not only compensated for the cruise, but also all the alcohol, all the photographs were refunded, all the airfare and hotel, that was all refunded. Carnival took care of that, plus they gave her a cruise as well. Do you think this was fair compensation?
I think they were very generous. It's unfortunate that their vacations were essentially ruined. But I think Carnival, right from the very beginning, they didn't come back with them and essentially say, do you think a $200 shipboard credit will get us through this per person?
Right.
I mean, they came out with the full refund, future credit, transportation costs. I mean, they were very generous from the beginning. And what was also nice is this is a great example of an excellent PR team, because they really, came out with the information. They were very forthcoming, very available to answer questions, so the media could get the stories right. And it is unfortunate their vacations were ruined. But I do want to point out that they were uncomfortable, but they were safe, and that's what we got to keep our focus on.
Well, and as we've heard, Carnival did an excellent job of really making them feel comfortable. I think they handled it with aplomb and professionalism, and it is unfortunate that the media will, I guess, blow it out of proportion in a way, and maybe makes Carnival just look less favorable.
Yeah, they're embellishing the story.
Yeah, they're doing what they do best, and that's just total exploitation.
Well, it was a slow news week, and but there were a lot of people out there that were interested that may not understand the industry as well as a lot of us do. And it was a great way to be able to show that, you know what, there was a fire. It was immediately taken care of. No, there were no loss of life, and the emergency systems on board the ship, worked.
How is this going to affect future cruisings? Looking into your crystal ball, is it going to be okay, you think, for Carnival?
Well, I think, Doug, there are no cancellations as a result. Bookings, thankfully, after the election anxiety period, has worn off, that bookings actually have picked up even more. We've had some very good news stories. Allure of the Seas just arrived. Celebrity's Eclipse is arriving. Holland America's New Amsterdam arrived a week ago. Seabourn's brand new Sojourn, one of the absolute nicest ships in the world, is on her way. So there's a lot of new ships, and people are very excited. And cruising is doing well because of these new ships entering service. And people are just reassured that cruising not only is just the best vacation value, but it is still very safe.
All right. Thank you, Stuart Sheeran, the cruise guy, and our guest, Amber Hasselrood and Marquis Horace, both in Southern California. We appreciate your time. Watch out for our premium content, giving you full access to our unedited interviews.
Yeah, if you haven't signed up for it yet, what are you waiting for? You get a free trial, also $2.99 a month after that. You can't beat it.
For example, our recent episode aboard the MS Eurodam, we had a real candid one-on-one conversation with the captain, which went on for like 18 minutes, but on the free show, which is found on iTunes every week, we could only use 5 minutes. So, again, one of the advantages of subscribing to premium content on cruiseradio.net.
We are also on Twitter at Cruise Radio and on Facebook at Cruise Radio as well.
From the Cruise One studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker.
And this is Cruise Radio.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day and for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry, with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, all backed by real people ready to help, so you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.